During phase one of the pandemic, my wife turned her organizational skills to cleaning up our cavernous basement, a Herculean endeavor that took several weeks. For phase two, she's tackling the garage. It's probably time. Stuff has been accumulating there since the 1960s. Excess wood and aluminum siding from old home improvement projects, downhill skis whose antique binding ski repair shops refuse to adjust, citing legal liability, a wooden Pancho Gonzalez tennis racket circa 1970, and lots of refillable bottles. Brown-tinted beer growlers from the estimable Chatham Brewery in Chatham, New York, New York State maple syrup jugs, milk bottles returnable to Jersey Meadow, our local creamy raw milk purveyor. The way it's supposed to work is that you buy the bottle once and deduct its price when you return it for a refill. That's not the way it works at our house. I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm not the person who routinely forgets to return the old bottle and has to purchase a new one, hence our flourishing collection of empties. But it wasn't those dusty bottles, annoying and expensive as I find them, that presented the dilemma as my spouse began to curate the garage. It was my collection of antique bottles discovered and excavated when I was a teenager from an ancient dump in the woods behind our house. Actually, there are two dumps side by side. One dates to the 19th century. The other is from the Depression. As I dug through generations of leaves and soil in search of bottles, the glass cloudy from oxidation and acidifying leaves, some of them with snake oil claims printed on the sides, I came to understand the thrill archaeologists must have felt uncovering the tomb of Tutankhamun or those who continue to discover the buried remains of victims from the volcanic eruption that buried Pompeii. Rupturine, reads a clear octagonal bottle, cures rupture. It was manufactured by the Hernia Cure Company of Westbrook, Maine. Hires household extract, says another. A third is a squat turquoise bottle, the air bubbles proof of its antiquity. A. Trask's magnetic ointment, it says. It makes no miracle cures, probably because there wasn't any room. The majority of the bottles were broken and chipped, but every once in a while I'd unearth a gem. One of my best finds wasn't a bottle at all, but a huge ceramic jug. On the side, it stenciled R. Lawrence and Brother, 244 and 246 South Pearl Street, Albany, New York. I understand that old bottles aren't as thrilling for everybody as they are for me. It probably falls into the same category as coins and stamps, two collecting categories that have lost their luster to distractions such as video streaming and PlayStation 5 in the internet age. But it's actually technology that's rejuvenated my interest in bottles. You can go online now and find the history of these relics and the long-defunct companies that once made them. Turns out that R. Lawrence and Brother were wholesale Albany wine and spirits dealers. No frilly bottles with fancy French labels for them. They sold wine by the jug. That information also makes me feel a certain kinship for the folks who owned our house 150 years ago and offers a window onto their times and apparently serious consuming habits. Another bottle, heavy dark green lead glass, has the words Coca Mariani and Paris embossed on the bottom. A few keystrokes reveal that the beverage was a concoction made from cocaine and wine, the effect of the two essential ingredients apparently greater than either alone. The drink, the inspiration for Coca-Cola, was a bestseller invented in the 1860s by a French pharmacist named Angelo Mariani. It was enjoyed by two popes as well as by Thomas Edison. It helped him stay awake while working on his experiments late at night, and Ulysses S. Grant drank it while completing his best-selling memoirs. All that history was buried in my backyard. From the Depression-era dump, I retrieved a five-sided log cabin bottle, as well as dozens of decorative mason canning jars, a couple with the pewter milk glass-lined caps still intact. So it's not hard to see why my feathers were somewhat ruffled when my wife offered a storage solution for the bottles in the garage. Throw them into the recycling bin. Admittedly, these weren't my best museum-quality bottles. Most had no writing on them. They were just pretty. Still, they deserve better than a trip to the transfer station. Also, I'd spend long hours liberating them from the soil and then washing them. After all these years, I recently bought a bottle brush kit, so they're sparklier than ever. But my wife had a point. Something had to be done. They were wrapped in newspaper and stored in cardboard boxes. Were we serious about cleaning out the garage, or weren't we? Fortunately, I came up with a solution. At the risk of sounding immodest, it was pretty inspired. I decided to return them to the dump in the woods and gently lay them atop this season's fallen leaves. Perhaps 100 years from now, some teenager, maybe even a descendant of mine, will discover them and be as amazed as I was when I first spotted them littering the forest.